Yeah, as concise as possible. Unfortunately, Rocco Gennaro has to leave us because he's got a plane, so we'd like to thank him for being here and, well, Danilo Massai will most certainly be able to reply to any question regarding the Federation and its activity. Thank you very much for being with us, Rocco. So, the first question. I have a question for Rocco Gennaro. Right. Rocco will reply as quickly as possible. Why a CPD course organized by PASV, which has 12 credits and with regards to nursing skills has a price of 80 euros, while the same course organized by another society which is a member of Nursing Up has a fee of just 20 euros? Well, I think it's a question which must be asked to the organizers. I mean, it's not a question which should ask me, but there's one point which should always be borne in mind. We should not just think of the courses in terms of costs, of fees. I mean, it is the content of courses which we should take into account. And we're interested in continuing education and in quality. I'm convinced that those who should be in charge of this are the authorities or the trust hospitals, the local government for which we work, not ourselves. Our employers, essentially, not our associations. Okay, thank you very much. Any other question? Yes? So, good evening. I'm Michela from the Coronary Unit in Udine. I've just got two short questions. Has the National Federation of Registered Nurses Colleges taken any initiative to obtain recognition of a master's? And when I talk about recognition, I mean being promoted, for instance, or being paid more if you have attended a master course. Because my impression is that the only, as it were, usable master in that respect is the master course for the field of coordination. And that's, of course, in coordination. Second question. In Italy, is there a body which actually verifies whether I've been following continuing education courses or not? Any other question? Yes, there's a question here. Okay, so I'd like to invite Danilo. To start answering. Okay, as regards the first question, what is the Federation doing to get recognition for our masters? Well, we're a federation, we're not a trade union, so we are not working instead of the trade unions. But at the same time, we have already started discussing this issue with trade unions in order to include the assessment of whether one has been following a master course or not, as regards both the career prospects and the wage packet. At the same time, we have also addressed a number of such questions relating to the recognition of education to the annual conference which gathers the central government and the regional governments, and we have asked a technical committee to be set up in order to assess all of these issues related to academic education, post-registration education, and so on and so forth. The technical committee has already met once it has to meet again, and then we're also addressing the same issues to regional health ministers, and in particular to the coordinator of regional health ministers, who is the regional health minister of this region, Veneto. And we have in particular told them that they should take into account the fact that actually local health authorities should contribute to the cost of master courses. And regional governments themselves should take the initiative of organizing master courses for those areas which are critical for them. So the decision to set up a master course should not be based on contingent or random decisions, but rather on strategic planning. And then, well, obviously, both our association and the trade unions are actually studying in depth the pay impact of continuing education, especially in specific areas such as psychiatry, critical care, and so on. So we're asking the trade unions and the regional governments to actually take into account continuing education, although this means that organization charts and job profiles within the health authorities should actually be revised, and this has not been the case so far. As regards the body which should supervise continuing education, well, there's no such body in Italy. There is a central government, regional government agreement in Italy, which lays down, first of all, that it's up to the state to ensure education, as has been described by Gennaro. On the other hand, as regards to the regional side, it's regional governments which should tell local health authorities exactly how they should work to the end of continuing education, especially as regards to the 3-year planning of continuing education and healthcare. So, if this is actually implemented, then obviously this means that each trade union will be able to negotiate with each individual local health authority regarding continuing education and regarding the way in which continuing education is paid in terms of career advancement. In addition to this, as regards professional accreditation, our position is the following. It is the College of Registered Nurses, which should actually be the accrediting body, the body in charge of accreditation. This is our position. Obviously, in some cases our position is accepted, in some cases it's not. And the point is that in Italy, very often, there is a certain confusion between the role of the trade unions and the role we are just a federation of the College of Nurses, so we work for the profession, but not necessarily for economic issues. Okay, thank you very much. Any other question? Good afternoon, my name is Lisa. I work in the Pordenone Emergency Department. I have a comment and a question. My comment is on the education of nurses, especially nurses who just had the regional diploma. Now, the point is that over the past few years, much has been made in terms of studying and nursing and on giving education on nursing and to nurses. However, I mean, new issues such as the issue of nursing, called nursing in Italy, which means a new approach to nursing. We use the English word in Italian just to indicate this new approach. Much has been studied in that respect, but I don't really have the impression that many nurses are actually involved in this sort of new cultural approach. So I'd like to know whether you agree with my impression. Then I have a question regarding the assessment of continuing education. For the time being, it seems to me that continuing education is not really valued for what it's worth. That is to say, nurses who actually get a BSc or an MSc, I have the impression that they don't really get paid more. So how can these nurses convince the hospital trust or the local health authority essentially to assess the fact that they have more skills than before? Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions? Oh, yes. Raffaele Manzo, Luciana Inferiore, Resuscitation. I have a question for Dr. Lang. You have discussed the concept of a critical event and the fact that we should base our approach to critical events on reporting critical events themselves. So is it possible to correlate or to prove that there is a correlation between staff shortcomings and these negative or critical events? In particular, could we use this kind of correlation, if we can prove it, in order to require staff to be increased, if we're able to show that staff reduction is the cause of this? Okay, Danilo. Now, as regards the issue of regional diploma, well, the point is that regional diplomas are quite acceptable for the time being. This in accordance with the law. So as regards continuing education, colleges of registered nurses have defined regional objectives in line with the skills required by the new framework law, which regulates university education, and in line with strategic local requirements. However, the point is that each individual regional government, even each individual local health authority, adopts its own specific approach. For instance, you may find in a three-year plan the need to update skills, competencies, and so on, which means that you're not just thinking in terms of old nurses or new nurses, but rather of nurses who adapt themselves to the context and to sustainable development. So we're talking about young nurses, not about old nurses. We're talking about nurses who have a diploma which is usable for that and that purpose. So we have the tools, we have the institutional tools. Now, as regards and this is what happens in institutions. And then, as regards our action as individuals, we must require field education and updating, continuing updating of our education. You know, there are so many nurses which have problems in being selected for master courses. And indeed, we should ask local health authorities to invest their own funds in order to update the nursing skills so that nurses will feel that they are part of the system, not that they are old nurses. They will all feel that they are new nurses in a new system. In addition to this, this would prepare nurses to access further education, that is to say, to move from BSc to MSc or from an MSc to PhD. It may be difficult, but there are national guidelines on continuing education, and I would like to invite all managers of local health authorities to read these, as well as I would like to invite you to read our local or national contracts. What we need is a program which should contain all our rights very explicitly. Otherwise, well, they will just remain on paper. In addition to this, the point is the fact that there are people who try to hinder education, continuing education program. And this is something which obviously hits nurses very hard. There are also people who don't feel themselves that they're up to continuing education. They feel they haven't got the appropriate qualifications. So both attitudes should be discouraged and corrected. Second issue which was raised, what should we do in response to what the colleague has asked? Well, take the law in our hand, I mean taking the written law, and show it to our managers and ask them to abide by the law. make them read it, ask them to abide by the law, and therefore local health authorities should earmark a certain percentage of their budgets every year for continuing education. This is written black on white in the law. So this means that, as our English colleague has just told us, local health authorities should be directly involved in continuing education and then in the evaluation of continuing education. Then, what about master courses? Nurses follow master courses, and these are not always recognized, if not on paper. Well, actually, we have been doing our best in that respect. But the law says that those who do have a master and MSc diploma should have preferential access to certain qualifications. So, professional masters should be identified as those which give specific and more advanced skills, which means that we should open on that a nationwide debate as well as a regional debate in each region. And in each individual health authority, in each district health authority, the trade unions should fight in order to achieve the recognition that master courses are essential. Indeed, we need legal recognition for this. In Tuscany, we are working in the direction. We haven't won yet, but the point is that there are many of us who are fighting in the direction, but we still haven't got anything. We have to do more. We have to win that battle in order to be sure that by 2005 we can really achieve what we want. So, to do that, probably we must set up observation centers for each region to monitor what is happening and to be sure that everything is going in the right direction. Thank you very much, Dr. Lange. Now, you were asking whether we may establish a correlation between the number of critical events and the number of nurses, and we may therefore conclude whether the number of nurses is enough or not. Now, I think this is something which we may already see as regards typical nosocomial infections, acquired complications, if you know what the baseline level is, so you may study the variation. So, the baseline value was this, then the number of nurses was cut, and there was an increase in infectious diseases. Okay, it's also easy to calculate, actually, because you should keep monitoring the situation, monitoring the number of nosocomial infections, operator-related accidents, and so on. But you need to work on the baseline values, take into account the number of patients, not just the number of nurses, the number of doctors as well. And it's only once you have studied all that you may establish a correlation and prove it. Then, whether the health authorities will accept this correlation and act on it, well, much depends on the extent to which they're sensitive to it. It also depends on whether they understand one point, which we know is sure, that the five major nosocomial infections are worth a nurse's monthly wage. So actually, I mean, it's also economical to work in that direction. Okay, so the point is a point of method. We should always follow a strict and appropriate methodology in order to analyze these issues, in particular critical events, and we should always be able to think of our profession in scientific terms, not in an approximate way. So thank you very much. I would like to thank all the speakers, and now I invite the speakers of the next course to come here to the panel. So all those who have registered for this course are invited to move forward the first rows, and so the badges can be checked for accreditation. with the bad readers. So I'm sure this will be also a fruitful event for you. Oh, one communication. A small